В имя Отца и Сына и Святого Духа. Аминь. Слава Иисусу Христу.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus Christ. Today, on this Sunday of the publican and the Pharisee, our thoughts may wander towards the Super Bowl, which is also today, but hopefully we'll be able to settle them on the Lord's word as well. It's not easy to lead a Christian life. We heard St. Paul in the letter to Timothy saying that everyone who tries to lead a God-pleasing life should expect to be persecuted. Not necessarily by the government, not necessarily by those in some kind of special authority, but persecuted in various ways. We persecute each other, and I'll get into that a little later. We're persecuted by our own fears and our own unwillingness to share the gospel with people, even though we have deep inner urgings to do so. We stop ourselves sometimes. We are persecuted by certain relationships that don't allow us to grow spiritually. They keep us down. They keep us bound. And not that we always need to divest ourselves of those relationships, but we have to learn how to live with them in such a way that they will not distract us from our journey towards the Lord. In everything, the finest way to measure things is, does this get me closer to God or further away? Now, if it's getting me further away, then I need to do something about it. I need to either alter the way that this fits into my life, or I need to get rid of this thing, whatever it is. And if it brings me closer to the Lord, well then, I need to pay attention to that, to fortify it, to expand it in my life. The Pharisees were people who really tried hard to please the Lord. Now, we see them appearing again and again in the Gospels in confrontations with the Lord. But the Pharisees were good, upstanding citizens, and they practiced their faith very seriously. However, sometimes they fell into this self-assured stance that they were doing everything right. So they probably used that measure of what's getting them closer to God, what's getting them further away, except they had the wrong measure. The measure that they used was whether they are fulfilling the precepts of the law. They were acting in accordance with the law, and the law which was given to the Israelites to protect them from idolatry sometimes became an idol for them. You see, even good things can become idols in our life. We can turn them into something that actually prohibits our further growth in intimacy with the Lord. Priča pro metarija i fariseja holovno zosaređujuća nad фундаментальною рисою християнського життя, а саме смиренністю. І та смиренність, яку виявляє митар в сьогоднішньому Євангелії, вимагається від нас не тому, що Господь Бог хоче нас принижувати, але тому, що Він сам дав приклад такого смирення. Він сам виявив таку смиренність у своєму житті, і тому ми потребуємо відгукнутися на Його смиренність нашою смиренністю. The Pharisees were religious leaders, lay leaders, and they had a number of very important doctrines correct, unlike the Sadducees, who were the priestly caste. They surrounded the temple. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection of the dead. The Sadducees did not. The Pharisees were very much dedicated to making everyday life reflect the relationship that Israel had with God in the covenant, in the old covenant. They wanted to make the domestic life of every Israelite shine forth with the works of the law. This is good stuff. Now, the priestly caste just wanted everybody to come to Jerusalem, to the temple, to make offerings, which was in their financial interest, actually. Not that that was their only intent. I'm sure that there were many Sadducees who were genuinely devoted to the Lord. The Sadducees were also religious conservatives. They accepted only the five books of the Pentateuch, which is known as the law in Israelite faith. Whereas the Pharisees believed that the Lord had continued to reveal to the Israelites many things through the historical books, through the wisdom literature, through the Psalms, through the later writings. And so we can't characterize the Pharisees in an exclusively negative light. That would be a big mistake. Now, we also have to put ourselves into the context in which our Lord is telling this parable. I can almost guarantee that his audience, upon hearing that there were two men that went into the temple to pray, a Pharisee and a tax collector, probably would have jumped to the conclusion that this story is going to end up with the Pharisee being a good example and the hated tax collector being put away. And Jesus, as he often does with his teaching, inverts things. And he makes them think a little bit deeper about what's really real. Now, it's interesting that the New Testament is not the only place that offers criticism of the Pharisees. Actually, the successors of the Pharisees in rabbinic Judaism have in the Talmud a number of categories for types of Pharisees that you might encounter. This is in the Jewish Talmud. There are seven groups that are enumerated. The Pharisees that are called, just wait a little bit longer, were those that always had some reason why they couldn't fulfill the law and do God's will. There was always some intervening reason. So they were called the just wait a little bit longer Pharisees. And then there were the Pharisees that were called the beaten up Pharisees. And these were the Pharisees who were so careful not to be seduced by the beauty of women that they wore a veil over their face and they would bump into things. And they would often have bumps on their heads. That's why they were called the beaten up Pharisees. Remember, this is all from the Talmud. I'm not casting aspersions on anyone. I'm reading from the Talmud. And then there are the Pharisees who carry things on their backs. And those are those who do good deeds, but then they make sure that everybody sees them. So they carry them around with them wherever they go. And then there are the hunchback Pharisees. Those Pharisees that want to show everyone how humble they are, so they're always walking around a little bent over. The hunchback Pharisees. And there are the Pharisees who are always doing accounting. They're always counting their good deeds against their sins and trying to have a positive balance sheet. The accountant Pharisees. And there were the God-fearing Pharisees who were always in fear of God and acted always out of fear. And then finally, the seventh category, the God-loving Pharisees, the true sons of Abraham and the only true Pharisees. The word Pharisee is interpreted in two ways. One is those that are separate. In other words, they keep themselves separate from the infidels, those who do not keep the law and do not know God, who are immoral and who are polytheists. That's one way of translating the word, those who keep themselves separate. Another way was the devoted ones. In both cases, the emphasis is on the fact that they take their faith seriously, or at least try to. But as the Talmud reminds us, they're for the seven possible ways of trying to live that devout life, six have a tendency to go astray. And only one out of seven is actually doing the right thing, keeping God's precepts out of love for the Lord. These are the true sons of Abraham. Ми застановляючись над смиренністю, яку виявляє метар в сьогоднішній притчі, здаємо собі справу з того, що Господь дав приклад того смирення. Святий Павло в своєму посланні до Філіп'ян вживає гімн ранньої церкви, один з найстарших, який був правдоподібно написаний арамейською мовою вже в 30-х роках, значить, в в перших роках після розп'яття і воскресення Господа Ісуса Христа. І він пише так: «Плекайте ті самі думки в собі, які були і у Христі Ісусі. Він, існуючи в Божій природі, не вважав за здобич свою рівність із ним, а применшив себе самого, прийнявши вигляд слуги, ставши подібним до людини. Подобою явившися як людина, він понизив себе, ставши слухняним аж до смерти, смерти ж хресної. Тому і Бог його вивищив і дав йому ім'я, що понад усяке ім'я, щоб перед іменем Ісуса всяке коліно преклонилося на небі і на землі і під землею, і щоб усякий язик визнав, що Ісус Христос є Господь, на славу Бога Отця». Отже ж, Господь, Син Божий, умалив себе, принизив себе, і тому дав нам приклад, як осягнути щастя. Тому він говорить при кінці сьогоднішньої притчі: кожен, хто вивищує себе, буде принижений, а хто принижує себе, буде вивищеним. We tend to do what the Pharisee did in today's gospel reading very often without realizing. Not that we tell God how great we are, as if God needed to be informed of this. But rather in comparing ourselves with other people. Comparing ourselves with other people is usually an action that is fraught with danger. We look at each other and we think, oh, that person has qualities that I don't. And we become envious. Oh, look how pretty she is. I can never look that pretty. Look how well put together that outfit is. I can't do that. Or look at how nice their family is. I wish our family were like that, but it's not. And so something's gone wrong. It's either me or the kids, but something's gone wrong. These kind of comparisons so often lead us down a destructive path. In our church, we have this iconostasis so that we have something to focus on, so that we don't look around at each other, how we're dressed, whether someone is standing or sitting or kneeling, so that we don't begin to go down that path of comparing ourselves with others. We have our focus on the Lord. And that's the proper way to live. And that is exactly what the tax collector, the supposed bad guy in today's story, is doing. He says, "Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Such a fundamental prayer in our tradition. We repeat it every day that we celebrate the Divine Liturgy before Holy Communion. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, he does the Jewish practice of beating his breast. In our church, we did some thinking about that and realized that it is through the cross of Christ that this mercy is given to us. And that's why we make the sign of the cross when we say, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." But notice he's focused on God. He doesn't mention himself, me, a sinner. But he puts things in proper perspective. Christianity is about what is real. And one of the things that is most real is that you and I are sinners. But that God is merciful even though we are sinners. And that makes all the difference in the world. The Pharisees tried to not be sinners by their own strength, and they could not succeed. We try to avoid sin, but for a different reason and in a different way. Our reason is not to earn salvation for ourselves, because salvation has been given to us as a gift. So our reason for it is different. We are responding to God's mercy. God has already shown his mercy to us on so many occasions. All we need to do is stop and think. One of the penances that I love to give in confession is for people to make a list of the five best things that ever happened to them in life. And then I ask them, and now thank the Lord for them. Because they didn't just happen. It wasn't just serendipity. God gave you these gifts. These are direct gifts from the Lord that were given to you. So describe them in detail and thank the Lord. And that is the attitude of the tax collector in today's gospel reading. He says, I know I shouldn't even be here. I don't have the audacity to approach you, Lord, because I know that I'm a sinner. But I also know that you are merciful. So God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, you know that I sign my emails Andri Sinner Priest, and that my wife doesn't like that because she thinks it's pompous or like holier than thou. I just believe in truth and advertising, and so I always make sure that people know that I am a sinner who happens to be a priest, but I am a sinner who is loved by the Lord. So if he can love me, a sinner, he can love you. And whatever is deep down somewhere in your subconscious, in your memory, something that's bothering you, something that separates you from the Lord because it makes you feel like you are distant from the Lord, he can heal that. He wants to heal that. That is what his mercy is. A drawing of us close to himself. And embrace. That's why the sign of our miraculous salvation by a loving God who disregards our sins is Holy Communion, the most intimate thing, because anything that we do with our mouths is intimate. He wants to make contact with us right there. It's a holy kiss from the Lord every time that we receive Holy Communion. That's how close he wants to be with us. And he wants to heal us of our bad consciences, the things that bother us, which so often spring from us comparing ourselves with other people. The truth is, we know very little about other people. The truth is, we even know very little about our own selves. It takes a lifetime to figure out who we are and what our relationships are. So if it's so hard to understand ourselves, why would we ever want to judge anyone else? We know so little about them. When you see someone angrily lashing out at another person, it's easy to say, "Oh, what a jerk." But you don't know that that person has just been deeply, deeply hurt by someone else. And this just boiled over. This is not who the person is. This is something that happened to that person. Sin goes through humanity like ripples in water. My sin affects you. You then affect your neighbor. Your neighbor then affects further people. It's a tragic chain of events. But the good news is that grace ripples through humanity in a similar way, but with greater power. And so instead of judging other people, what we can do is love them. And a little bit of love changes everything. And a little bit of goodness, which comes my way, makes me more apt to pass a little goodness on to the next person. And the ripples continue. Yes, it's going to be a hard fight to keep the good ripples going against the bad ones. St. Paul prepares us for the fact that this is war, really. We are going to be persecuted by the evil one. We are going to be persecuted by our own consciences. But if we have the humility to stand before the Lord and to say, "Lord, I don't deserve it, but have mercy on me. I am a sinner, but I need you." He will never, ever disappoint. Ми маємо сьогодні можливість, приготуваючись до Великого посту, застановитися над тим, як ми можемо скріпити в собі смиренність. Не порівнюючи себе з іншими людьми, бо це завжди є небезпечне. Але дивлячись на Господа, на Його доброту, на Його святість, на Його неймовірну любов до людського роду, стати перед Ним смиренно і визнати правду: "Господи, дякую, що Ти мене любиш таким, як я є, і хочеш з мене зробити щось кращого навіть. Дякую Тобі, Господи, що Ти віриш в мене, бо Ти перше повірив в мене, зак і я повірив в Тебе." It really is true that God believed in us before we believed in God. And that changes everything. And that is a truth that we can build our lives upon. That we have a sure foundation on which to build. So, humbly, yet with security, let us throw ourselves on the mercy of the Lord as we will enter into the triple litany, singing, "Hospodi pomiluj," Lord have mercy, not once, but three times for the petitions. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on us. Amen. В ім'я Отця і Сина і Святого Духа. Амінь. Слава Ісусу Христу! Glory to Jesus Christ! Amen.